Hi, Mike and Steve here with Kenrick's Meats and Catering, family-owned and operated for over 40 years, to invite you to check out St. Louis's largest butcher shop.
We are home to the Ozark Grillers, bacon-wrapped beef with cheddar cheese, and about 50 other unique specialty products to put on the grill. Kenrick's proudly makes over 80 varieties of sausage in our sausage kitchen.
Also, call Kenrick's for your backyard parties, graduations, or any occasion. Kenrick's fully prepared foods are ready for pickup or delivery.
Thrill your grill with Kenrick's Meats.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on a glorious Tuesday morning in St. Louis. Hello again, everybody.
Well, hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Yo. Boy, it was a late night. I don't know that I'm going to be much good to you.
But everybody stayed up late.
It was a fun night.
Everybody stayed up late. Why are you different?
Well, because not everyone else had to be here at 3:30 like I was.
Tim did and I did.
Yep. 3:30? You weren't here at 3:30.
Show prep. Why are you here at 3:30?
You see some of the finishing touches that have been put on the studio? You're welcome.
You're full.
It's the Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Looking for a great place to go during this beautiful weather in St. Louis. Acorns Golf Links would be our recommendation. 6,700 yards in Zoysia Fairways, Acorns Golf Links. They have a wonderful beer garden, perfect for bachelor parties. And that 18th hole, it's acornsgolflinks.com. For more details or for a tee time, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, today on what should be a magical Ryan Kelly Morning After, our Get Tinted STL Captain's Log.
Yeah.
Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital, coming up at 8 o'clock. Can't wait to hear from him. 8:30, Doug McClain of Sportsnet. He will be with us. And then Brian Lawton, who was critical after Game 1, despite the Blues' win, more focusing on the process, which I respect. He will be with us. He's an NHL Network analyst, former NHL player, and GM. He will be with us at 9 o'clock. It's all Blues all the time here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug will cough into the microphone throughout the course of the broadcast. There it is. You can get involved, however, at 314-880-0808. You can text in on that number. You can call in on that number. It's the Appliance Discounter phone lines, the Appliance Discounters with six St. Louis area locations. And right now, pay no Missouri sales tax on the purchase of an Energy Star rated appliance right now. At the Appliance Discounters, big cash rebates and a tax-free purchase. This is the week to save. The Appliance Discounters in Baldwin, Webster, St. Charles, Arnold, and South City, and Fairview Heights, Illinois, and online at the Appliance Discounter phone lines, theappliancediscounters.com, the Appliance Discounters. Doug, Blues 3, Blackhawks 2, they advance. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, old Bozy had the first glorious scoring opportunity. His heavy clapper was tipped by the twig of Letzi and got past their crab-handed pillow stacker's pincer. Colt 45 fired a round of buckshot into the pickle barrel, but we hit that tertiary stands in an old-fashioned Mexican standoff with an unsigned treaty. Nice. Then Browsey slipped past the border rear guards undetected, set up shop at the ladies' tees. He'd planned a surprise nine of hearts howdy-doody, but had to play whack-a-mole for the game-winning basket bolter. The Hawks tried to construct a stairway to survival, but Brooksy's finishing nail bounced off both newel posts. The champs go down in seven, and now it's on to Dallas. This is even better than getting Grichik for Freeze and Salas.
Wow. Fernando Salas reset. I couldn't have predicted
really
it.
Good.
I couldn't have predicted a Fernando Salas reset, but to me that makes it even more magical. Yeah. Boys, you were there. The building, it was coming out of the... Forget it. The building was loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was among the best sporting events I've been to in a long time. I don't know what would...
The bragging rights game this past year.
Well, no, I guess I got to go back to a World Series game maybe in...
You had a couple good Athletica games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Producer Joe was on the call.
I can't help it when I sit there and see an event like that with all the energy in the building. And
don't bring up the Rams.
And all that. No, I'm not. I'm just saying I can't believe it's not sometimes that it's not as popular nationwide as the other major sports. You can't possibly go to one of those games and not be hooked forever. As much fun as those are.
I'll tell you what. The last minute or two, as Chicago is furiously trying to tie it up, I mean, I think everybody in that building, although confident, was just holding their breath.
I noticed that. The Blues cleared the puck with about 20 seconds left. I went back and watched it again this morning. And it was, I don't want to say it was silent, but considering that they were 20 seconds away from this monumental win relative to what the organization has experienced. This wouldn't be a monumental win at the United Center. It wouldn't be a monumental win at the Staples Center. But for what the Blues had been through the last few postseasons, it was a monumental win. And it was hushed at around 21 seconds. Hushed, probably exaggerated, but not as loud because of what you were just making reference, Charlie. People were holding their breath.
And they still had that one last shot, like you said, where they had the puck behind the net and they kind of came down for that last, whatever it was, 20, 21 seconds. And you still, just because we've seen things before where it hasn't went the Blues' way, so you're always kind of wondering, is it going to happen? Is the worst going to happen? And obviously it didn't, and it was awesome.
And they'd scored right at the tail end of a period a couple of other times.
True.
As well.
Yes. And throughout the course of the regular season, we saw the Blues give up late goals.
And you can go down these guys can get down the length of the ice with a couple of passes in about 3 seconds.
Phenomenal. Just awesome. I mean, to think that, you know, you're going into that third period, and it truly was the case. It, again, fair or unfair, it's not unanimous, but for many people, and likely for the organization and what they would have done, that 20 minutes was going to determine the Hitchcock era's legacy, because if they don't get past the first round, that would have been what would have stuck with them, 100-point teams that couldn't get past the first round, and the future of a number of players. And sure, Hitchcock might be done after this year, and a number of players might be gone after this year, but they would have had that attached to them had Troy Brouwer not gotten that goal, a goal that he had to fire on net from, what did you say, it was the ladies' team?
Ladies'
team,
yeah.
A number of times. So I want to hear the calls on these various incredible moments from last night. Let's take a listen to the game-winning goal by Troy Brouwer.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
By Petrangelo. Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Oh, my. John Kelly on the call, Fox Sports Midwest, courtesy of. And then the countdown as time begins to expire on the defending Stanley Cup champion season.
Seabrook, now on to Panarin. Here's Taves down the boards. Run down. Hawks play it around to this side with 10 left. Now Shaw.
So strong.
No, thank you, thank you, thank you.
No.
I love that call.
I like the way he did it. Yeah, that was fine. That was fine.
Even had they lost, I know this wouldn't have been the focal point, and the anger would have been, you know, all over the place, and understandably so, deservedly so. But that, I would have said it had they lost. It's even better to say now that they've won. That was an incredible series. It's an incredible series. Absolutely incredible series. The intensity of nearly every minute of those 420 minutes plus, when you consider the overtimes, I mean, my God. I guess with the exception of the Blackhawks just kind of being able to, you know, shut it down in the third period of Game 6, every single minute was just full of intensity. Ken Hitchcock, soundbite number one, talked about this series and the Blackhawks.
Hit the lever, Plum.
It was really eye-opening what a championship team can do, like them, when they dial it up. You find yourself on the bench just in awe of some of the things they do, and we had to find a way to battle through it. And we knew that there was going to be a push, and it came hard, but you play in a series like this, you see why that team has won three cups, boy.
Ken Hitchcock giving credit to the Blackhawks for a great series. Martin Kilcoin, Charlie, you know him from the Two Fox.
He's my assistant.
Nice. I like that. He's your apprentice.
Yes. I think he's an unpaid intern.
Yep. You're mentoring him.
Been there a while. They'll still be unpaid.
Yeah. Hopefully someday they'll give him
a 20-year program. Martin Kilcoin tweeted out that as he went through the line on the handshakes, Joel Quenneville told members of the Blues to go win the cup. How about that? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think plenty of people in St. Louis do not like the Blackhawks, in particular their fans. And sometimes I feel like that stuff's kind of overblown. Blackhawks fans, I think of my experience, events truly do have an odd way. It's like they want to cause crap, you know? And I remember, like I tweeted out last night, after Tay scored that overtime goal in Game 5 in 2014, I walked out of the building. I'm like, wow, some of these people are like looking for a fight. It was an odd thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. It wasn't like I was involved. I just was observing it. And there were a lot of them there. And I just know in that, you know, maybe I just happened to run across a bad bunch of 20. But, you know, in the case of Blues fans, I don't know if there's necessarily a hatred toward Joel Quenneville or even a dislike.
I mean,
there's an appreciation, and that's an illustration of why. Here his team was just vanquished, and he's telling the Blues, and this is coming from Martin Kilcoin, who spoke with members of the organization, that in the handshake line he was saying, go win the cup. And I would say that when the odds are set for the second round, I would imagine the Blues would be in the top two as far as favorites go, considering that the Blackhawks and the Kings are both gone now. The Blackhawks and the Kings were both ahead of the Blues as far as favorites go to win the Cup in the Western Conference.
This was not an unlikable Chicago team from an opponent's point of view. They just really played. They played hard. They didn't. Not a lot of cheap shots. Andrew Shaw had the one meltdown because he caused a penalty that may have caused his team the game. But other than that, there wasn't cheap hits. There weren't a lot of fights. There wasn't a lot of nastiness. It was just hockey the way I think it was supposed to be played. You didn't come out of that series hating any of them like you do oftentimes in a playoff series.
Right. And even a couple years ago when you had the Seabrook hit, you had the wakey-wakey Backus, there was much more angst in that series. And it wasn't like the series against San Jose where they were fighting at the end, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and everybody was fighting at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. There was a few scrums here and there, but I agree with you. I think for the most part, it was just a really good, really well-played series where people all across the country after that last night were saying, man, this was great hockey. It might be the most competitive series we see all postseason.
Yeah, there wasn't really a real cheap goal in any of the games. Nothing really cheap where you thought, boy, that should have never happened. And as close as it was, it gets right down to them hitting two goal posts in the final 4 minutes of the game. That's the difference.
No, I agree with you, but also I think this Blues team, if that goal would have taken place after, you know, it went off the post, if it went in instead, I still don't think like it was over for this team. I do think that this team was really resilient. You saw it for the whole series. So I do think this current Blues team is different. And we saw it for a couple times in this series. When they got down a couple goals, when you thought, okay, they lost Game 5 and Game 6, there's no way they're going to come back and win Game 7. I mean, they proved they're not the same old Blues we talked about the last few years. They are a different team, and they really showed a lot of resiliency in the seven games.
Playing the way they did, there's really no reason that they can't beat anybody. I don't see anybody out there where you go, oh, boy, that's going to be a horrible matchup. I'm sure there's a lot of teams looking at the Blues saying, you know what, I just assume avoid the Blues. But I don't think there's anybody in their way right now that you would think, well, that's an unwinnable series.
Right, and I also think that just getting past the first round, and I understand it's just the first round, but it also was, you know, something the Blues hadn't accomplished in 3 years. You're facing your arch rival, and it wasn't just any random first-round opponent. You're talking about the Blackhawks, the defending champs. They've won three cups in the last 6 years. So I think a lot of the pressure now is off the Blues, and it wouldn't surprise me if they'd get to the conference finals now or beyond, because I do think they're that good. They're really tough. They're a really tough team.
David Backus, soundbite number 6, said this is just the beginning.
Lever plows
in. I mean, there were a lot of naysayers, there's no question about that, and there was a lot of, you know, people who counted us out, but in the end, it's one round, and we're down to eight teams left, and one of them is going to be the Stanley Cup champion. So, you know, it's a good feeling, and we had to put a lot in to beat a heck of a team tonight. But, again, we still only get credit for one round of victories here, and we got to start over from scratch against Dallas in a couple days.
Which is hard to imagine because it did feel like a conference final. That's what they were saying on the NBC Sports postgame show, which is outstanding. You sit there and you go, oh, my God, that was just a first round. Joel Quenneville, or one of the other, I thought it was either way, one of the head coaches, Hitchcock or Quenneville, said it felt like a conference final. That was the intensity of that thing.
Well, the teams were played at a level that it could have been the Stanley Cup final. It could have been anything. I don't know that there's two better teams. Now, Washington's got the points, but I don't know that there's two teams any better than the Blues and the Blackhawks.
And the Western Conference was so much better this year, and has been the last few years, that it wouldn't surprise you if two of the best teams in the NHL come out of the same conference.
Right.
Just because they play each other so much. I mean, look at the depth in the West this year. A team like the Kings loses in the first round. The Blackhawks lose in the first round.
It's the first time ever that no Canadian team and no Original Six team is left in the Final Eight. Fun facts for no and tell. Fun facts for no and tell. Tim had two young female fans next to me last night, and they enjoyed the touch of each other.
They didn't.
It's from Kyavorsky. Well, that's Kyavorsky.
Well,
why would he lie?
Wouldn't he have taken a picture if that were really the case?
I had somebody send what they thought was the beginning of tribbing to me, which I was proud to get trending in St. Louis last night. Best moment of my career.
Oh, come on.
I had a good live shot outside the Bowling Hall of Fame in 2005 on KMOV, though.
Ew.
Yeah. So this is the second best moment of
my
career.
That's not there anymore. They took it down to San Antonio.
That's what makes it so great. Mm-hmm. But I believe the lesbian couple that this gentleman sent me a picture of, one of the members of the couple was a man. So it takes away from
that's different
the lesbianism. Yeah.
Hmm.
Just like a short haircut or
no, had a penis.
Okay. You couldn't tell that at the game, though.
For lesbianism.
Interesting, Doug.
Doug and I enjoyed the touch of each other last night as well. That's from the 314.
The 314 is my suspension logule. Oh, here it is. It's leather bound.
You know what surprises me?
314. Excuse me, Charlie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
314, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and your name is going into the Ragazzi's handsome leather-bound suspension logule. Ragazzi's right there on the hill. Perfect spot for lunch, Chuck.
Yeah, it would be. On a lovely day today, you're celebrating. Go ahead, Charlie.
No, what I guess it shouldn't surprise me about our listenership, though, is, you know, you have a great win by your local hockey team. Mm. They finally get over the hump, Doug. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are celebrating on Twitter and Facebook, but a lot of our listeners instead are taking pictures of you and I in the background of when these athletes like Troy Brower are speaking and posting them on social media, like with our eyes closed.
We have to struggle and reach around three people to get the mic in there close to them, and so we're doing all kinds of weird contortions, and that's what the people are going to
do. Isn't it more interesting that Brower scored against his former team, and it was the trade in the offseason, the Blues finally beat the Blackhawks?
No, sir.
And it's like instead of celebrating that, they were trying to find a shot of me where it looked like I was like picking my nose or had my eyes closed.
That's right. That's what they do. That's our listeners, Charlie.
It's interesting.
I couldn't be sorry. I'm disappointed in them, of course, but I couldn't be any sorrier.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm happy for the note. I'm happy for the organization because they deserve that.
Yeah, happy for Tom Stillman, too, who will get at least two more home
games
there in that building.
Yeah, that's something that Chase tweeted out last night. Kelly Chase will be with us at 8 o'clock on your GetTintedSTL.com. Captain's log. Doug, let me give you a little hinty-hinty. They tinty-tinty so you don't have to squinty-squinty.
Nice.
Check them out at gettintedstl.com or call 314-406-8489. Get Tinted STL, Captain's log. But Kelly Chase tweeted out last night, right as the third period was starting, crazy to think of the financial implications of 20 minutes of hockey. That was a deep tweet from Iceside, but it's the truth. It really is the truth. So huge. I mean, at the top of the list, and I realize I will officially classify this and acknowledge it before I state it, that it is obvious populist rhetoric, but I truly am happy for the fans, in particular those fans who who live and die with games that I personally have zero interest in November and December in the regular season. And we have a difference of opinion on their importance, but to them it's very important, and God bless them. And they suffer through so much crap over the years. And to win that game, and it wasn't like there was ease in that thing. I mean, it's 2-2 going into the third period, and it could have gone either way after so much heartbreak. I'm so happy for those fans in particular. I'm so happy for the city of St. Louis. Now, I realize in our world, this is a huge thing. And for many people, it's something that, you know, they're completely unaware of or just don't care about. Completely cool. But St. Louis, the region, needed something positive after what has gone on around here for a while. And I am in particular happy for Ken Hitchcock and the players, in particular some of these guys who, had they lost, right or wrong, they would have most likely been gone. And also their era, which during the regular season has been incredibly successful from a postseason standpoint, has been a major disappointment. And they get through to the second round and win a signature game. You know, if they would have gotten through the second round against the Minnesota Wild last year, be like, all right, fine.
It was a bad matchup, Tim.
Well, buzzsaw. But this, to beat the defending Stanley Cup champions in a Game 7 with that kind of intensity, when it was all set up for the typical St. Louis Blues narrative of, oh, another choke. Here's the same organization that was up 2-0 twice and now up 3-1, and they couldn't close it out. Now they're going to lose a Game 7 on their home ice. Instead, they actually go against that narrative, and they get it done, and that just makes me really happy for a large number of people, but at the top of the list, those hardcore fans.
This would have really hurt to lose. If you're ahead 3-1 in a series, if you're ahead 3-1 in Game 6 when you can clinch it and you lose, if you're ahead 2-0 in Game 7 and cough it up, this would have really gone down as how you blow a series. But the fact that they kept it together and got that game winner is really a difference maker. Could be a difference maker for half a decade or so.
Yeah, I also think this team, even though they said the whole series how much confidence they had, and they proved it last night, but also you have to kind of prove it to yourself. You can play well and you can say things, but until you actually see yourself beat another team in the playoffs, because a lot of these guys hadn't seen that since 2012. I mean, now it would not surprise me at all if the Blues just kind of, I'm not going to say they're going to roll through Dallas, but really get things going now that they're over this hump.
From the 314, only small-time-ass St. Louis celebrates first-round playoff series victories. That's from the 314. It's a great point, with the exception of the fans storming the streets on the north side of Chicago last October. But well played. Mm-hmm. You can text in 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. You are also welcome to call in on the appliance discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. Here is Ken Hitchcock talking about this team's confidence now on how to close out a series. Soundbite number 3, gentlemen.
There's a reason teams win, and it's not skill. It's this ability to go into really tough areas and succeed and even at times feel comfortable. And it's this inner confidence that you have that you can make the other team crack. And sure, leaving Game 6, they probably thought they had us cracked. They pushed us out hard, and we had no answer for Game 6. But we came back and had an answer tonight, and that's what I mean about that knowledge. That's that inner thing that you, if you're going to succeed long-term as a franchise, like whatever happens moving forward happens. I mean, we're going to play a hell of a hockey club. But we have knowledge now that we can use, and we need that. We needed that knowledge. We needed to not just run up against the wall and fall backwards again, and we got it now, so we can use it.
Ken Hitchcock speaking of the team now having the confidence to advance because they have closed out a series. They have closed out a series for the first time since 2012, that first-round series against the San Jose Sharks. 4 years and a few days later, they do it against the defending Stanley Cup champions. It's the first time the Blues have beaten the defending Stanley Cup champions in the playoffs, and so Ken Hitchcock will return to the scene where he won the Stanley Cup, and he will be doing it against the coach he won the Stanley Cup against. Fun facts for no and hell.
I would think if you're looking for a key why the Blues won, it's that they kept Patrick Kane in check. This might be the best player in the league. He's right up there. Led the league in scoring anyway. Not in goals, but in scoring. He had one goal in seven games, and he was on the ice for all three Blues goals last night.
Don't you want to complain, though, about Tarasenko's ice time as well?
Oh, well, no, not since they won. But when you can hold a player like that to be not...
as concise and accurate as it gets.
To be not much of a factor on the score sheet. There was at times last night he was literally skating circles around Brian Elliott, and you thought, oh, this is going to end horribly. This is going to be the highlight goal of all time. But it wasn't, and they kept him in check, and that was a huge thing, I think.
Doug, how about Scotty Upshaw? He was playing out of his mind to start the game. Yes, he was. He was laying hits like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And he hit the post as well. For all these Blackhawks fans, I've seen the tweets of, oh, the MVP of the series were the goal posts. Upshaw also hit the post in the first period.
Yeah, there was
come on
several
with
posts.
That.
Yeah. I know it's fun to analyze this and hear coaches talking about now we have the knowledge of winning this. And so much of it just comes down to we took a slap shot and it found traffic through and got in the goal. You know, I don't know that a lot of these players really don't have the knowledge of what it takes to win or if it's just us overanalyzing things. They played hard. They have just as much talent as the Blackhawks. And things went their way this time, just as in years past. Sometimes just a couple bounces of the puck were the difference in it not going their way.
Yeah, but those were, you know, six-game losses where they lost four straight. Last year was a six-game series where they had an opportunity in Game 5 at home when it was a 2-2 tie. It's about increasing your probability of succeeding and then also decreasing the opponent's probability of succeeding. And, yes, luck will come into play, but you put yourself in position over the course of seven games. And in this case, it was truly evenly matched. I mean, for real, I don't think there's one game in that series where you go, that was the game that the Blues definitely deserved, or that was the game that the Blackhawks definitely deserved. You can just look at last year's Minnesota series, and there were a couple that you go, well, the Wild just dominated that game. Or there was Game 4 in St. Paul, where the Blues absolutely dominated that game, 6-1. There wasn't one of those in this series. I mean, this thing across the board, it was a classic series. John Kelly said, and he's called a lot of Blues playoff games, he said this, and has seen a lot with his dad, calling a lot of Blues playoff series for certain when they were in the playoffs every single year when his dad was calling the games. So this is the most incredible Blues playoff series he's ever seen. And I don't know how I can dispute that. Even if they would have lost it. Now, nobody would have wanted to hear that if they lost it. But, I mean, that was every single game. I can't imagine this thing with the Stars being similar. Just part of it's going to be because I would imagine it's going to be higher scoring. That's just the way that Dallas plays and how Dallas got to 109 points. But in this thing, it was so damn intense. For example, Game 1, where the puck bounces in after Backes fires it on the net and off the skate of Van Riemsdyk, I doubt you're going to see something like that where it's 1-0 overtime and that's that. I just think these are going to be higher scoring games. And a lot of people, we had Sergio Mameso on yesterday, we had Jamie McLennan on yesterday, feel like, and Kelly Chase was saying this before the playoffs even started, that the Stars are a good matchup for the Blues. Doesn't mean anything. Some people then get into paranoia about jinxes. You know, fairy tales are fun. But listen, when it gets down to it, people are just analyzing what works for a matchup. Chase also said he felt like teams like the Ducks, Sharks, and Kings were bad matchups for the Blues. But that doesn't mean that if they were to get to the Western Conference Finals, that if it is the Ducks or Sharks that are sitting there, and still to be determined, of course, if the Ducks are even in the second round, now they're going to a Game 7 after losing in Nashville last night, the Blues wouldn't be able to beat them. I'm sure plenty of people around North America, I saw plenty of people around North America were picking the Blackhawks simply based on history and experience, whether it was before the series or going into Game 7 based on momentum. Doug, speaking of Tarasenko's ice time, Tarasenko was eighth among forwards in ice time at 14:31.
Okay.
He also left for a while to get his skate.
He had a skate boy skate issue.
I was joking about that because, of course, after they win, and I'm not saying it's not a real issue, but we brought that up after they lost. No one said anything about that when the Blues are up 3-1. And obviously in the euphoria after a victory, nobody's bringing it up again. Even if it is a real question that you can debate, you know, should he be on the ice more?
It would have been one of the narratives had they lost the series, I think.
Absolutely.
It would have been, where was your star? Why didn't he play as
and
much as the other guys?
3-1 in game 5-6, be up 2-0 in game 7, would have been absolutely brutal. It would have added to, you know, the log pile of Blues' torturous memories. And instead, it goes the other direction. And honestly, I can't really remember a time. It's the first, what, Game 7 win in St. Louis since 91, correct, against the Red Wings when they came back from 3-1. Mm. So to do this in St. Louis 25 years later, phenomenal. And now 4 wins away from going back to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 15 years. And when they went in 2001, it was the first time in 15 years. So just mathematically, the intervals would tell you that they will beat the Stars. And that's what I base it on.
Well, perhaps we should give Hitchcock credit for knowing what he was doing to keep Kane and Taves and Hossa and that group in check by playing Stastny and Brouwer and that group, trying to play them against him, playing more defensively, even if it meant that your top scorers didn't get the same amount of ice time. Because clearly the Blues were not beaten by Chicago's big offensive guns.
Yeah.
They were not the factor we thought they might be.
And it worked out. That's the bottom line. And so many times in sports, you know, this series was so evenly matched. And as you said, it just comes down sometimes to puck luck. But if you put enough shots on net, you're going to get some fortuitous bounces. Like Brouwer's goal, I mean, that was right there. It was about the juiciest rebound you could possibly
see. But it took two good passes to get there.
Absolutely. But again, the series was so evenly matched. And by saying that, you're giving a lot of credit, as you should, to Chicago. They're a really good team, and that's why this victory means so much. I know they're the arch rival, but as Tim said, it would not be the same if they just beat the Minnesota Wild last year. No. This is the Blackhawks. They have 3 cups. They're the arch rival, and they're a really, really good team that if they beat the Blues, the Hawks might have won the cup again.
You think the Hawks now are saying, well, I guess we're going to have to retool. We couldn't get past the first round.
No, because they won the Stanley Cup 3 times in the last 6 years. So is there a difference?
But some of those guys are gone now.
But you have Taves and Kane. They're both, what, like 28? Yeah. I mean, those guys are locked up. Those are the real core pieces. They're almost like the San Francisco Giants. They've never went back-to-back, but they win every couple years. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did, you know, a year from now or a couple years from now.
Yeah, this could have been a series. I don't think you play the Stanley Cup Finals any harder than these two teams went at it.
Yeah. Such a good series.
Yeah, and it was really crisp. The passing sometimes was just really eye-opening of how sharp everybody was.
And so now the Blues advance to take on the team that won the Central, barely, went down to the final night of the season. They will take on the Dallas Stars. I saw KMOX tweet that they're hearing it will be Friday and Sunday. Doug, do you know why it would be Friday and Sunday?
I believe they have to wait till all the series are done before they schedule them, don't they?
Well, the Islanders and the Ning are already scheduled for the early game tomorrow. Then you have the late game tomorrow night in Anaheim with the Predators and Ducks playing a game 7.
Mm-hmm.
But
so why are the games
Friday
and Sunday?
Can I take a guess?
Go ahead, Charlie.
I have no idea, but I'm just going to guess that there's like an Ariana Grande concert, something like that.
Well, I just know. Mavericks?
Nope.
Game?
Mavericks got shipped last night. How about this? They can't play Monday in St. Louis. Why?
Not the WWE. No.
Really?
For heaven's sakes.
Get Larry on.
You can't be serious.
Yep, can't play in St. Louis on Monday, so for the purpose of spacing it out, it would make sense that they would play on Sunday in Dallas. Otherwise, they would have 2 days off in between games 2 and 3 because of the WWE Monday night. How does that make you feel? Might be a nice sports Sunday piece.
Makes me feel shallow. And there's no way to move it. Remember, was it Vince McMahon wanted to sue Stan Kroenke once before, didn't he? Over this same thing?
Out in Denver?
Yes, it was in Denver.
It was in Denver.
I remember reading about that.
Because Kroenke
tried to put Stan Kroenke in jail.
Yeah, because he moved.
It's the Sea Monster.
He went ahead and moved that WWE event.
There might be one significant difference is that, if I remember correctly, the Avalanche, or no, it was the Nuggets. The Nuggets did not inform the NBA that that date was unavailable. I have faith that the good folks at the Scott Trade Center have been in communication with the NHL, and thus they are aware of the scheduling issue.
There you go.
Let's be honest, Doug. What's bigger, a second-round Stanley Cup series, or we're talking Monday Night Raw? I think
Thank you, Charlie.
Cena's got a big match.
Yep.
Couldn't we just email all the WWE fans and tell them the outcome of the matches that that haven't yet been wrestled?
Oh, my word.
Say, listen, we're going to cancel the event, but here's who would have won.
But also,
here's
a lot
the script.
A lot of Blues fans, they don't want to miss Raw either.
Right. Exactly right.
I think Stan Kroenke should be arrested.
Yep.
See there? I bet there's not much of a crossover. You got to fork over $100 or more to buy a Blues ticket.
What do you think Monday Night Raw is?
Exactly.
I think the people at work release programs or
wrestling is really popular. Never ceases to amaze me how many people are into wrestling.
Me neither. They had more than, 100,000 for WrestleMania? I mean, what's the deal with it? What's the deal with that?
Tim, Game 2 wouldn't be in St. Louis. I don't think Raw would matter. That's a hot take. My point, which I'm well aware of how the scheduling and home and away works, is that the game in St. Louis, Game 3, would not be able to be played in St. Louis on Monday night. So unless they want to have 2 days off in between, so for example, if they were to do Thursday and Saturday in Dallas, then you would have 2 days off. They could do that, but you can't play in St. Louis on Monday night. So the thought process at this moment is that we'll be Friday and Sunday. That's what KMOX is reporting. Game 3 in St. Louis on Tuesday. Game 4 in St. Louis on Thursday. Game 5 in Dallas on Saturday. Yes.
Okay.
So you've seen the schedule too.
I like every other day. I think it's absolutely perfect in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Play every other day. I understand you have scheduling difficulties, but waiting a couple days, it's just the series is crisper. Every other day, you're ready for
it. Don't snap your finger like
that. I like the snapping, boy. I like the snapping, boy.
It kind of drove my point home.
Okay.
Yep, that's good.
Okay.
I remember FDR, that very popular address right after, what was it? Was it the inauguration?
Pearl Harbor?
Was it Pearl Harbor? We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Pearl Harbor.
And if you hear it in the background.
He's not snapping.
He's snapping like the Dickens, sir.
He isn't snapping.
Yes, he is.
Both hands.
Yep. Yep.
Might have been his leg braces creaking, but it wasn't his hands snapping.
That's way just too mean. Soon. That's mean-spirited.
Well, he made sure he walked up there. They put him on special leg braces so he didn't have to be wheeled in to make that speech. They thought it would look like he was weak if that's what he did. So they put him in these big leg braces, and he barely was able to walk up to the microphone.
Yeah, I saw
the
movie Pearl Harbor where he was is portrayed by John Voight.
And Josh Hartnett.
Gosh, he was... That guy's attractive, Doug.
Oh, for him. Josh Hartnett. FDR?
I was talking about Josh Hartnett.
Okay.
Let's see. Guys, I haven't been this happy since Tim liked one of my posts on the fan page.
That sounds about right.
Doug, why is starting Friday instead of Thursday such a big deal?
It isn't, really.
I don't know. I didn't think it was. It just appears, per KMOX Sports, that is what the series start time would be.
That's fine. Makes sense. I was
kind of thinking about going down to Dallas. Why either one of you go to Dallas?
I may.
I won't.
Depends on when the games start and all that. We're thinking about going to the NFL draft as well to see Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh.
So if it's going to be Friday.
Is this just one of your Ohio State fanboy trips that you can write off?
No, man. It's a big story.
The NFL draft?
A St. Louis kid that's going to be drafted probably top 10 in the NFL.
Were you there when Blaine Gabbert was drafted top 10?
No.
All right, then.
You may step down.
No, it's drivable. Okay, it's Chicago.
Yeah.
It's my town. See,
all right.
It's different when you have to take the plane trip to New York.
Okay,
I feel like I heard a female, but then I thought, okay, that might just be the Plowhawk. Plowhawk, you said it would be the Blackhawks in 7, but you wanted it to be the Blues. It led to anger from many of our listeners. Your thoughts on last night's festivities at the Sky Trade Center?
Couldn't be happier, and I couldn't have predicted a better outcome, although I did predict the Blackhawks of 7. Like I said yesterday, the atmosphere of a Game 7 in St. Louis will be intoxicating, and obviously we felt that last night. So I'm not picking the Stars in the next round, however, but I'm glad it went 7 games.
How about that, Doug?
We had looked forward to calling him the Plow Star.
You're not going
to
be the Plow Star?
I like the Plow Shark just for the simple fact that that's a good hockey club right there.
Yeah.
Don't say club. Yeah. A lot of people say club.
I don't know, but
in baseball, too. Back in the day when it was 1884, it was a baseball club.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a hockey club or a baseball club.
No, I'm with
it's
you,
a team.
Yes.
Okay?
Franchise, stop. Team.
So, Plowhawk, you're taking the Blues in the second round?
Oh, I'm actually taking them in five.
Wow.
I kind of agree.
Just the momentum, and Dallet Lettinen is not a great goalie. They don't have great defensemen, and I think we'll just shred them. Five games.
Well, they got something if they finished atop the Western Conference.
Well, Sagan, Jamie Benn, I agree. Patrick Sharp, I understand they're an offensive powerhouse, but so were the Blackhawks. And look at what we did. Elliott, as long as he plays to what he's been all year, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, and we just rolled over the Blackhawks.
But don't you think the Blackhawks are a better team? I know they didn't have the better record in the regular season, but I think the Hawks, they almost do like the San Antonio Spurs type deal where they don't really care as much about seeding and home ice in the regular season because they know and they've proved they can beat anyone.
Well, around sports, the view has been, and I think you can only go with the NFL, NHL, and baseball, but there are three teams that it's just since 2000, really, more or less. I mean, I suppose you can... It actually is really since 2000, that these three teams, when the postseason rolls around, just beware. And that's the Cardinals, the Patriots, and the Spurs. And I guess if you want to go to 2010, you can't do that with the Blackhawks going back to 2000. But if you want to go back to 2010, it's the Blackhawks. They did lose in the first round to the Coyotes in 2012. But other than that, they have made deep runs, and they also have that tenacity that was so... well discussed leading into Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7, that they're just so damn hard to eliminate. And to Joel Quenneville's credit, he was 32-7 in Games 5 through 7 as his tenure as the Chicago Blackhawks head coach. It's 32-8 now. Kent Hitchcock was 1-8 in Games 5 through 7. It was only 5 through 6 because there hadn't been a Game 7 in his tenure as Blues head coach, and that is now 2-8, and the losing streak stops at 8. So he returns to Dallas, the place where he won the cup to coach against Lindy Ruff, the coach he coached against with the Sabres, Brett Hull. Doug, I don't know if he was in the crease. I mean, you go to Buffalo and they're going to tell you it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it looked like he might have been.
But either way, 17 years later, Ken Hitchcock returns to Dallas, maybe Thursday, most likely Friday night for Game 1. And Doug, the last time the Blues and Stars played in the playoffs, the Blues swept them. Right on out, and you know who was large? Large.
Large was large.
Had a very good series.
Yeah.
And then he imploded against the Avalanche.
It was later than he stopped paying attention.
Right.
He rested on his laurels.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe he got on his haunches.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the Avalanche only had Patrick Waugh, so it wasn't really important.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Blues and the Stars in the second round, and whoever gets past that, whoever wins that one will face either the Sharks, Predators, or the Ducks. In the Western Conference Finals, it's a Stanley Cup playoff now, just full of upstarts, randoms really. When you're talking about teams that haven't necessarily been there, the Islanders hadn't won a series in 20 plus years. Now the Ning were there last year, Doug. You love the Ning,
well,
but the Capitals and the Penguins. Penguins have been there. But it's wide open, baby. It's wide open. It's why a lot of people, when they look back on that 2003 Blues team that was up 3-1, which I think really played a big role in Quenneville's firing the following year, the fact that they were up 3-1 and they lost, people go, God, it was wide open that year. You can make a case that now two of the toughest teams are gone, and the Blues played a role in vanquishing one of the two.
Don't say vanquish.
I love the word vanquish.
I do, too, actually.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hey, say whatever you want, and Doug, why don't you shut your pie hole?
Well, you know what I found interesting? Last year when the Blues go down in round one, the thought is, well, we got to make some changes. And what was the big change? They traded T.J. Oshie, and people go, oh, you've got to be kidding me. He's our favorite player. He's a great offensive player. Who do they get? Troy Brouwer. And who scores a very ugly game-winning goal to get him past the first round but Troy Brouwer?
Agreed.
So are you saying where are all the Troy Brouwer haters now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So why do you hate Osher?
I don't. I liked Osher. I just bought the jersey.
Now let me ask you this, though.
I just bought the jersey.
Okay.
Chuck.
Are you going to say the same thing, though? What if it's Blues Capitals in the Stanley Cup final, and Oshie has a big series. What are you going
to
say then?
Yeah, and game seven comes down to a shootout as they change the rules.
I would hope, as long as the Blues win, I don't care who has a big series on the other side.
TJ Soshi.
That would be the best matchup, I think. The most fun matchup.
The Plow Hawk has now apparently changed because he just announced on Twitter the Blues beat Dallas in five, they beat the Sharks in seven, but the Penguins beat the Blues in six, so he is the Plow Penguin.
Plow Pen.
What? Sidney Crosby? Sid the Kid?
Oh, move over, Sid the Kid. It's Evgeny Malkin who's probably going to have the biggest impact in that series.
Oh, Plowsy.
I'll tell you what. Maybe I'm riding the high of the euphoria from last night, but I did pick the Blackhawks to win in seven. There's nothing against the
really?
Blues. I just thought, and even going into last night, to me, you look at the first six games, who would have watched any of those games and said it was anything more than a coin flip because they were so close?
Absolutely.
Right. And then if you
so rare for that to be the case in seven hockey games.
And then if you just look at pedigree going into last night, if you see six games that are 50-50, you have a team in the Hawks that have shown the pedigree to advance in games like that, and unfortunately until last night the Blues hadn't, a lot of people picked the Hawks to win. It wasn't – I mean, the series was so close. It's like 51-49. But now I really think the Blues have got over that hump, and I think Chicago might be one of the best teams they face this postseason. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Blues keep this thing rolling for a couple more rounds.
No, I don't think it would surprise anybody, but I do think that you can't just dismiss Dallas and think that, well, they don't play very good defense. The Blues will be able to handle it. That was a good team. It's a very, very good team.
Sounds like you want to scrap with Sergio Mameso.
I don't necessarily want to scrap with anybody. I'm just saying that there's going to be a sense, and maybe not among the players and coaches, but a sense among the fans of, oh, good, we got past the Blackhawks. It's clear sailing the rest of the way. I don't know about that.
Let me ask you a buzzkill question, which probably shouldn't even be asked the day after this series. But if the Blues were to fall to Dallas in the second round, how do you look at this postseason?
Well, a success in the fact that they, you know, cleared that one big hurdle that they hadn't been able to for many years. Anytime they lose, if they go all the way to the finals, they're going to be bitterly disappointed.
Yeah, but you can still take
that would be a success,
you can still take a step back, and I would call it a success. I mean, that to beat the Blackhawks in that series, what you've done, because oftentimes, and I realize it's really nerdy and it isn't fun because it takes emotion out of it, and emotion's what makes it fun, either to laugh at people who are going bat crap or to celebrate with people who are euphoric. But from an analytical standpoint, the financial impact for the organization is so positive, not just in the short term with the ticket revenue of a second-round series from a sponsorship standpoint, but also from bringing a lot of people to the table who otherwise would have, including myself, gone, God, another first-round exit. It's just absolutely amazing that they continue to do this. The Cubs of the NHL thing, it's fitting. And instead, now what you have are people who otherwise couldn't give a damn about hockey during the regular season and who even during the first round go, okay, I'll pay attention if they get past the first round. Watching that and getting on board, fortunately, a 7:30 start, 7:42, and seeing thrilling hockey and a 2-2 game going into the third period in which the Blues win, the building goes bat crap. That's a great thing for hockey in St. Louis. That has long-term positive ramifications, just like a number of people my age were brought to the table by the Hull and Oates era and some really good teams that didn't get to the conference finals but were some damn good and exciting teams, and excitement and buzz brings people to the table, not just in the short term, but the long term. So from that standpoint, from an analytical, nerdy standpoint, that makes me really happy for the organization. Jesus Ortiz, Post-Dispatch columnist, tweeted he talked with Tom Stillman, who admitted that he shed a tear last night when the final horn sounded. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to always make the comparison to Stan Kroenke, and it's such an easy comparison to make.
Because of the similarities?
No, but because Tom Stillman is just such a good dude. And when you see him on the broadcast when they cut to him after big goals, and he's just so passionate, it's so awesome to see that. I know I've told this story before, and you guys have too, but also Tom Stillman coming to Brian Burwell's wake or – you know, when they honored Brian Burwell after the funeral. And he stood the whole time. And Brian Burwell didn't even really cover the Blues that much. But it was just Tom Stillman, as the owner of the local sports franchise, coming to pay his respects to a guy that didn't even cover the team a lot. But I saw that, and he stood up for 2 hours during that that ceremony and that tribute. Mm-hmm. And I just said, that's just a really good guy.
And there's a story when he wanted to buy the team but needed some investors and went to some of his well-heeled friends around St. Louis and said, we're probably not going to make any money out of this, but it's just the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for St. Louis to keep it locally owned, even though he's probably lost quite a bit of money since he's owned the team.
Hey, Tim, by chance, do you know anybody to get me tickets for Game 3? I'm just looking for a deal. Thanks, the Dogtown Astro fan. Mm.
You get tickets?
And it starts. All my Chicago friends from school, from Bradley, the second it gets to a Game 7, they're all texting me, can you get us tickets?
Mm.
Like, I'm going to get you, first of all, if I could get free tickets, I wouldn't give them to you.
You'd be using them yourself. You'd call in sick to work, and you'd use them yourself.
So to all of them, I responded, you know, StubHub's pretty good site for this.
Right.
Doug, that game last night was almost as good as the Liverpool comeback versus Dortmund a couple weeks back. Thanks, Barnhart Brawler.
They came back and won it 1-0?
I made that comparison.
It was 0-0 and they won 1-0?
My 10 o'clock live shot, I compared it to that.
Did you?
Hey, Charlie, did Cal May have any questions in the post game? By the way, you're still fat. Doug, tickle my nipple hair, please. Dr. Woody Bender. Mm.
Dr. Woody Bender has been suspended, Tim.
Seems like you're taking one up for Charlie there.
He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Rigazi suspension log yule. Nurses happy hour, 8 to 10 a.m., Tim.
We do have breaking news on that, on Doug and I's kind of relationship, how it's getting better.
Oh, did he unblock you from Twitter?
He unblocked me from Twitter yesterday. Because after the radio show yesterday, Doug's key fob wasn't working, he thought. So he thought he needed a new battery, and I said, hey, I used to live right over there in Shrewsbury. It's a couple miles up there on 44. I said,
right by the butter squirrel.
Yep. I said, I'll take you to the Batteries and Plus store mm-hmm. and get you a new battery for your fob. So I drove him. I drove him back. I did a nice errand and a favor for him.
Wow.
And then he unblocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the price?
He didn't even unblock me until I said at the Blues game last night. I go, Doug, you know, I'm still blocked on Twitter by you. And I took like 30 minutes out of my day to help you with your stupid key fob.
Well, how many minutes do you think I suffered from some of the hurtful things that you said on Twitter?
Zero.
You could sue for emotional.
I think I probably could.
You can text in 314-880-0808. Send in your emails today. We're giving away a gift certificate to Dirty Dogs for our email of the day. Kelly Chase in 5 minutes. That's presented by GFI Digital. Doug McLean of Sportsnet. That's at 8:30. And Brian Lawton of the NHL Network. That's at 9 o'clock. Your email of the day. It's all to come here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After as we broadcast live from the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Gateway Buick GMC is a proud partner of the GMC Enlist Me program. In their service lane. Every dollar you donate, GM matches as well as Gateway Buick GMC going towards building for America's bravest. This is a great deal because it helps build smart homes for wounded veterans who return from war. Gateway Buick GMC does not take freedom for granted, and they're excited that they're a partner of Gateway Gives Back. It's Gateway Buick GMC. Gateway, the right way, at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hey,
yeah, I have what?
Oh, that was awesome. I was so glad so many idiots sold their tickets to Blackhawks fans so they could see us beat them.
Boy, there was a lot of them there, weren't there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was the most I've ever seen, I think. It was pretty crazy. But as I was leaving, I got some evidence of what Tim was talking about. There was a guy just stuck in traffic, a Blackhawks fan, just leaning out his window yelling, F the Blues, F the Blues, F the Blues. And, I mean, stuck in traffic, and people are just, I mean, he wasn't that big either. I'm just like, what are you doing? You lost. It's over. What does it matter? I mean, I can understand your win, taunt us or whatever, but, geez, it was crazy.
Perhaps he'd fallen victim to the demon rum.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if he was drunk. It was just odd. It's like, okay, we're just going to go out.
Yeah, we lost you.
Now I do.
Oh, there he is. You got another call coming in.
You got another call coming in, Steve.
Hey, Chaser, can you break out that cow pattern denim shirt that he used to wear in the 90s for the second round? I love that shirt.
We'll make sure to ask him.
Love you guys.
All right, Steve.
Love you, Wildwood.
He's excited.
He's in the car, I think, today.
Mike?
Hello, Mike. Mike?
Yeah, they played good, huh?
They played very well. Did you watch the game?
Chamber?
Yeah, I hope they could get that thing.
Where are you now? You sound like you're coming from an dungeon.
You sound like our studios last week.
Hey, I've been down radio stations before.
When did you come down here?
Huh?
When did you come down here for the visits?
Long time ago.
Well, what were you doing here? Was it a radio station a long time ago?
This is where people go to get choked out.
That one, Yusuf 1380.
Okay, when it was the man and the woman?
Yeah.
No, what'd you do then? You just popped in and say hello?
No, that was a long time ago. I won that guy named Nick, and they had the girl take up clothes up there in the radio station.
For heaven's sakes. All right.
Mike, you in the restroom, sir?
No.
Where are you?
Hey, Doc.
Where are you?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Starbucks.
You're in Starbucks?
Yeah.
That sounds hollow there. Is there anyone else there?
I'm drinking Starbucks coffee.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Sexy coffee.
That's a nice little pick-me-up.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
You might kiss my ass.
Put him down! Put him down! Mike Lee has been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. Fine folks who run Ragazzi's, I'm sorry you had to hear that, but I do appreciate your leather-bound suspension log, Yule.
Kelly Chase joins us next, brought to you by GFI Digital. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After.